prophetic word we heard from Nancy, and now the wonderful testimony that we just witnessed from Aaron and Rebecca. God is saying some things to us this morning. I'm not going to preach my entire message this morning, but I am going to ask us to turn to Psalm chapter 85. And Lord willing, when Sue and I return from vacation, we will get into this more deeply. But I want to share the introduction to this message, for I believe it flows with what I feel the Holy Spirit, what we have heard the Holy Spirit speaking to us about this morning. In Psalm chapter 85, let's stand together as we give honor to God's word. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, a psalm. You, Lord, showed favor to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, God our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord says. He promises peace to his people, his faithful servants, but let them not turn to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good. Land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. This is God's word. Father, just take the word in just these few moments, with even just this introduction, with everything that has already been sung, testified, and spoken. Lord, we just want to focus on hearing from you today in your word in these few moments together, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. You may have heard of the Asbury Revival. It took place in Wilmore, Kentucky on Wednesday, February 8th, 2023. Students didn't want to leave their chapel service for a spontaneous time of prayer, praise, confession of sin, exhortation, and reading of scripture had permeated the class and the whole student body for 24 hours a day, for 16 days straight. Students gathered to worship, to pray, to confess, to testify to what God was doing. It was estimated between 50,000 and 70,000 visitors over the course of the event converged on Asbury to witness firsthand this sovereign move of God. It all began in a simple chapel service on February the 8th, 2023. There, the student body was gathered in Hughes Auditorium at Asbury University. The speaker was actually a fill-in speaker, for the scheduled preacher was off sick. Zach Meerkrebs preached on Romans 12, 9 to 21, about having an authentic love without hypocrisy. He would later confess that he thought this sermon had bombed. I have listened to that sermon. I will not say any more. But the Spirit of God was moving through the speaking and proclamation of his word. Students did not want to leave. After he stopped preaching, a number remained in the auditorium. One student stood up. to confess sin. Another stood up to confess sin in his life. Soon, there were a number of students gathering together to pray for one another. And before the end of that day, the Hughes Auditorium was jam-packed with students, young adults, seeking God in prayer. And for 16 days straight, the Spirit moved as the students stayed to pray, to worship, to confess, to read God's Word. Lives were being transformed. The faculty recognized that God was doing and joined the student body in prayer. The Spirit began to fall on the dormitories, and students in their rooms fell on their faces before God. Lives were changed. Young people made their lives right with God. Some even got saved at a Christian university of all places. Many gave their lives as they felt called to missions. It was a powerful outpouring of the Spirit of God. And how we love to hear stories of that. They give us hope that revival is not something that happened 100 years ago. In fact, I have to make a confession, Rebecca. I'm old enough, I have heard Sadie preach. I was only about 9 or 10 years old, but she was a missionary who came to our church at Shepherd Gospel Temple in Scarborough, and I remember just sitting there, wow. And she was old back then. But she impacted my young life. God has used in my life missionaries who have come into my church, growing up into my home where mom and dad hosted them for lunch, and I would be enraptured by captivated by their stories, how God called them and how God was using them. Oh, how we love stories like that. They give us hope that revival is not something that God has done in the past, and we glory in the past revivals. Hallelujah. But they remind us that it's still possible today for God to move in Canada, in British Columbia, on Victoria, Vancouver Island, and in Highway Christian Fellowship. But what is revival? And how do I know when revival is happening? Well, in Psalm 85, we read what is referred to as the revival psalm. The postscript of this psalm tells us that it was written for the director of music by the sons of Korah. These were Levites responsible for the choirs, the music, and the worship in the temple. It is commonly believed that this psalm was actually written after Israel had returned from captivity in Babylon. And some might ask the question, what do you mean, captivity in Babylon? And for those who don't know what that means, at the beginning of this service, I read from 2 Chronicles 7:14. It was the dedication of the temple that Solomon, the son of David, had built. David had the vision for the temple. Solomon was the one to actually build it. And in answer to his prayer, God showed up at church. God's glory filled the temple. God's glory was there, and God spoke to him. But God said something else to Solomon that I didn't read, but I will read now. In chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, let me start at verse 13. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And how we love that refrigerator voice verse. We memorize it. We put it on our walls in our homes. We claim it. But let me read what else the Lord said to Solomon. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the ears offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne, as I covenanted with David, your father, when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor to rule over Israel. But, if you turn away and forsake the decrees and commands I have given you, and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot Israel from my land, which I have given them, and which will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. I will make it a byword and an object of ridicule among all people. This temple will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this people? And people will answer, because they've forsaken the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why he brought on all this disaster. The dedication of the temple began in an outpouring of the glory of his presence upon the temple and upon his people. It was followed by a promise to Solomon that God had chosen this place. He had chosen Solomon. And then it's followed up by a sober warning. All of this will be yours. I will pour out my blessing. But if you choose to reject me, and sadly, tragically, king after king after king after king came. Some loved God, served God. The majority wanted nothing to do with God. God sent his prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, to call the nation back to himself. But they proceeded in their evil ways, worshiping other gods, substituting God for other stuff. And so God kept his word. They were upright, rooted in 586 BC, or Judea was uprooted in 586. The northern nation of Israel, the 10 tribes, they were taken away by Assyria a few years earlier. And the people of Judah and Benjamin were taken in chains to Babylon, where God spoke to the prophet Isaiah, for 70 years you will be here. But he said, in 70 years, I will bring you back to this land. The 70 years took place. God raised up an Assyrian king or a Persian king and said, the time has come. Let Israel and all those who wish return, rebuild the city, rebuild the temple, and to restore worship in the city. So many did. Many, they couldn't wait. They had been waiting for this day. Daniel, the servant of God, had been praying for this when he realized the time had come. And many got up and they followed men of God like Ezra and Nehemiah to return to Jerusalem, to rebuild the city, to rebuild the temple, to restore worship, and to allow God to pour out his spirit once again. And when they got to the city, what they found were walls that were in disarray. The city was a heap of rubble. The temple had been burned to its foundations. There was nothing left. And while they started the work under Ezra, it became very daunting. I mean, there was nothing but rock and stone and disaster all around them. The work was hard. It was arduous. It seemed like a never-ending project. And then, to top it all off, there were their enemies who were really ticked that Israel could come back and actually thought that they could restore the city because the enemy had already taken root in God's land. So they got tired. They got weak. They got disappointed. They got discouraged. And they just decided to be content to live in the rubble. Oh, God sent other prophets such as Zechariah and Haggai to remind them of God's call on their life. And eventually, through the ministry of Nehemiah, they were able to restore the walls. They were able to restore the temple. But what really blows me away is that before that came, the people were content to live in the rubble. And when I read that, I'm reminded of, is this where the church is today in Canada? Is this where we are? Oh, we see all around us the evidence that, yes, Canada needs revival. Yes, we know that our government are passing laws and ideas that are so contrary to God's word. And we wonder, how much longer will God keep his hand of blessing on this country? And we talk and we complain. We come into church, and I hear it in many churches where people, there will be a wonderful outpouring of the Spirit, but yet there is this attitude, this spirit of complaining that looks and says, well, that's not the way God did it in my day. That's not how I see revival. Look at all the problems that are happening. How do you know we need revival? We need revival when we see people getting saved, when we see people testifying to leading people to Christ, when we see God moving around the altars, when we see new families coming, and yet when we can still complain that God isn't moving. My friends, we need revival. We are sitting in the rut, comfortable with the rubble that surrounds us. We need revival. What is revival? It simply means to refresh, to restore to life, to live prosperously or wholly with all that God gives. It supposes that there's been life in the past, but now there is a need for a refreshing, a restoring of that life. When life is refreshed and restored, those who are revived will live on a higher plane with God. Oh, we need revival. I need revival. Everyone in this room, everyone who is watching, streaming in on the internet, we need to be refreshed, restored, and revived. I'm not talking about having revival meetings. They have their place. In fact, ironically, most revivals in history have been ignited following the preaching of God's word. But we need a revival, a biblical revival, that comes to God's people who determine to follow God's plan so they can receive God's promise of renewal, restoration, and revival. What does that look like? I will tell you when I get back from holidays. Let's stand together. Worship team, would you join me? You've got a couple songs for us to sing at the end, and we're going to sing those. Told you I was going to be short.